Oh, before dawn. I'll wake you. Tick. Some distance away from Madame Frout's academy in Esoteric Street were a number of gentlemen's clubs. It would be far too cynical to say that here the term gentleman was simply defined as someone who can afford $500 a year. They also had to be approved of by a great many other gentlemen who could afford the same fee. And they didn't much like the company of ladies. This was not to say that they were that kind of gentleman, who had their own rather better decorated clubs in another part of town, where there was generally a lot more going on. These gentlemen were gentlemen of a class who were, on the whole, bullied by ladies from an early age. Their lives were steered by nurses, governesses, matrons, mothers and wives, and after 4 or 5 decades of that, the average mild-mannered gentleman gave up and escaped as politely as possible to one of these clubs, where he could snooze the afternoon away in a leather armchair with the top button of his trousers undone. One reason for this was the club food. At his club, a gentleman could find the kind of food he'd got used to at school, like spotted dick, jam roly-poly, and that perennial favourite, stodge and custard. Vitamins are eaten by wives. The most select of these clubs was Fidgets, and it operated like this. Susan didn't need to make herself invisible because she knew that the members of Fidgets would simply not see her, or believe that she really existed, even if they did. Women weren't allowed in the club at all, except under Rule 34B, which grudgingly allowed for female members of the family or respectable married ladies over 30 to be entertained to tea in the green drawing room between 3:15 and 4:30 p.m., provided at least one member of staff was present at all times. This had been the case for so long that many members now interpreted it as being the only 75 minutes in the day when women were actually allowed to exist, and therefore any women seen in the club at any other time were a figment of their imagination. In the case of Susan, in her rather strict black school-teaching outfit and button boots that somehow appeared to have higher heels when she was being Death's granddaughter, this might well have been true. The boots echoed on the marble floor as she made her way to the library. It was a mystery to her why Death had started using the place. Of course, he did have many of the qualities of a gentleman. He had a place in the country, a far dark country, was unfailingly punctual, was courteous to all those he met, and sooner or later he met everyone, was well, if soberly dressed, at home in any company, and proverbially a good horseman. The fact that he was the Grim Reaper was the only bit that didn't quite fit. Most of the overstuffed chairs in the library were occupied by contented lunchers, dozing happily under tented copies of the Ankh-Morpork Times. Susan looked around until she found the copy from which projected the bottom half of a black robe and 2 bony feet. There was also a scythe leaning against the back of the armchair. She raised the paper.
"Good afternoon," said Death. "Have you had lunch? It was jam roly-poly."
"Why do you do this, Grandfather? You know you don't sleep."
"I find it restful. Are you well?"
"I was until the rat arrived."
"Your career progresses. You know I care for you."
"Thank you," said Susan shortly. "Now, why did—"
"Would a little small talk hurt?"
Susan sighed. She knew what was behind that, and it wasn't a happy thought. It was a small, sad and wobbly little thought, and it ran, "Each of them had no one else but the other." There. It was a thought that sobbed into its own handkerchief, but it was true. Oh, Death had his manservant, Albert, and of course there was the Death of Rats, if you could call that company. And as far as Susan was concerned, well, she was partly immortal, and that was all there was to it. She could see things that were really there, which is much harder than seeing things that aren't there. Everyone does that. She could put time on and off like an overcoat. Rules that applied to everyone else, like gravity, applied to her only when she let them. And however hard you tried, this sort of thing did tend to get in the way of relationships. It was hard to deal with people when a tiny part of you saw them as a temporary collection of atoms that would not be around in another few decades. And there she met the tiny part of Death that found it hard to deal with people